Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Jordan Roiburn, founder and editor of The Daily Gold. Jordan, let's start off with gold, as gold is pulling back about $22-$23 down, dropping below $1,700. The chart still looks very strong in my eyes, but even my last conversation with Rick Ackerman, he was saying just how frustrating this market is. What are some of the levels that you're watching for gold in terms of this, at least short term right now, pullback?
Well, you know, looking at the daily candle chart, Corey, it looks like gold is close to a breakdown, at least a short term breakdown. I'm not predicting that because I can't predict the future. But I think if we see some downside follow through tomorrow, you know, then it would tell us that we probably have some more downside, that there is a mini technical breakdown. However, you could also get where it closes today and people get worried, and then tomorrow it does a bullish hammer where like it starts the day lower, but then does a bullish reversal. So, you know, that's what I'll be looking at. I mean, technically 1675, around thereabouts, that's an important level. I mean, if we do break down from this little triangle consolidation, it looks like a potential descending triangle here. It could go down to 1575, but I would honestly, the stocks are holding up fairly well considering, you know, the downside potential in gold. So I would not be discouraged by that. I mean, even if gold came down, you know, you would see more weakness in the stocks, but 1575, we've already seen a reduction in the net spec position by 100,000 contracts. You'd get a further reduction in that. And to me, that would, so you'd wipe out, you know, some more bullish sentiment. And gold has been so strong, it's like way above a lot of the moving averages. So a move lower would not be a bad thing. So that's how I look at it. You know, it looks like there's a chance of a breakdown, but the action in the stocks is telling you the market is strong, and also be wary of a potential false breakdown and big bullish reversal tomorrow.
That's interesting. Okay, so watch tomorrow maybe for some sort of a false breakdown. But in terms of the stocks, you even mentioned it recently, they are performing better. GDX holding that breakout level from last week. What are your thoughts generally on the stocks to move down, maybe go through a little bit of a correction themselves, if you think the gold could go through a bit of a correction still?
Yeah, I mean, if gold is going to break down and test 1575, you'd probably see GDX, which is trading just below 34. You would see that correct 15 to 20% from its peak, which was, I think, about 35 or maybe the very high 34s. So, I mean, you could see GDX come back and retest 30 potentially. It does have a confluence of very strong support, the 50 and 200 day. There's also the 38% retracement of this huge rally, I think is around 28. So that's like in case we do have a normal correction, which would surprise everybody because the market's so strong, 28 would also be a level to look at. And even if we tested that, I don't think we'd invalidate the breakout. I don't think we have to worry about that, because if you look at a monthly chart and probably a weekly chart, I mean 28, you know, that's, we might make one close below 30 or 31 on the weekly chart if we have that correction. But even if we just correct now to, like, let's say 30 or 31, I think on the weekly chart the market would not be closing below that key level of 31, that key breakout level. So that's something to keep in mind as the weekly and monthly closes. So I don't, in other words, even if we have a correction here, I don't think that invalidates the breakout. The other scenario, Corey, is GDX continues up. There is some resistance around, I want to say like 36.60. And then in the 37s, there's a 50% retrace of the entire bear market. So if GDX does not correct and it moves higher again tomorrow, those are levels that I would look at that could be a short-term top, you know, around high 36s, maybe 37, mid 37s. If GDX gets there quickly, you know, it could be a little bit too overbought, and then those could be a level, you know, that could be a level where we see it snap back to 31 or 32 and correct. So I know there's a lot in there, but that sums up, I think, all my scenarios here for GDX.
Okay. So, Jordan, following up on that conversation I just had with Rick Ackerman, how do you classify gold, gold stocks, and the gold juniors when it comes to bull markets? Are they all in bull markets? Do the juniors still need to prove something to break out? How are you classifying these markets?
I think it's clear that gold and the seniors are in a bull market. That's indisputable. The juniors, if we're talking about GDXJ, I think they are in a bull market, but the real confirmation will come when they break that 2016 high. I think that's what a lot of people are waiting for. I mean, if we're talking about gold exploration juniors, there isn't really a good index for that. I know there's another ETF, but still, those are kind of like the largest explorers, and a lot of them are basically advanced exploration companies. The small explorers, it's interesting because I don't think, you know, if they haven't done anything in the last couple months, they're basically, and that's true for many of these small explorers, they're in the same boat. So things really have not changed for them yet. So I do think that, I know I'm getting a little off track, but I do think when we see GDXJ break the 2016 high and when we see gold break above 1800, those will be, after that happens, then everything will definitely be in a bull market and you'll see speculation really start to take off. So that's kind of how I view it. I mean, whether it's in a bull market or not and arguing about it can be semantics and it doesn't really get us anywhere. But yeah, I think the sector, gold is obviously in a bull market. GDX too, you know, GDXJ, I mean, it is in a bull market, but if you want full confirmation, it's got to break the 2016 high. And, you know, silver, that's a whole nother story. It's not quite there yet. So I think silver, you know, we would need to see it break the 2019 high, which I think is, you know, I think the monthly high is, I'm just guessing right now, but I think it's around 1850. So, you know, I'd really like, I think I, and I'm sure all the listeners would really like to see silver do a weekly and monthly close above 1850, you know, to really confirm that it's in a bull market. But that's the problem. You know, do you buy silver stocks now and wait for that, or do you wait for that to happen and then silver stocks are up another 50%? I don't know, but that's kind of the, you know, there's no right or wrong answer there. It depends how you personally look at it. But, you know, if you're waiting for full confirmation, you are going to give up some upside.
Yeah, but hey, sometimes giving up that short-term upside, I think, is worth it to ride a train that is moving more solidly in one direction rather than this choppy move, especially when it comes to silver, because silver is really, really lagging gold for a number of different reasons. However, SIL, if you compare the silver chart to SIL, SIL is doing much better. So the argument is being made that the silver stocks could be telling us that silver is due for a run higher. What's your assessment of SIL and the silver stocks?
You know, someone mentioned this on Twitter. They kind of intimated it. The silver stocks, there's a reason why SIL is strong, and that's because a lot of the companies in it are involved in gold. So the silver stocks are not strong because they're silver companies. They're strong because they're silver companies, or they're basically precious metals companies masquerading as pure silver companies. And if you're a silver company right now, you're probably struggling. I mean, if you're a pure silver company, unless you're like Mag Silver or Silver Crest and you have some great high grade deposit, you're funded to production, et cetera, or you're wheat and precious metals. But I mean, silver, I think, is like 40% of their business. But I mean, if you're a pure silver company and you don't fit in that boat, then you're probably struggling. I mean, SIL, again, it's doing well, fairly well, not because of silver, because these silver companies are involved in the gold business. So really, Corey, we have to look at SILJ, because the silver juniors, those are the ones that where silver is a bigger deal for them. It's much more important for their business because they're purely silver in most cases. And if you look at SILJ, I'm looking at it, that's still below the 200-day moving average. I mean, it's had a great run from at the bottom, just below 5 up to almost 10. But I mean, that's not as strong as the rest of the sector. So SIL, long story short, SIL is a little misleading. Got to look at SILJ. That's probably a better indicator of silver stocks. And, you know, it's not quite there yet. It's not, we don't have confirmation that it's in a bull market. And this is going to come down to inflation expectations, Corey. And so there's a lot of different things you can put on a chart as far as evaluating inflation expectations. I haven't looked at it in a week or so, but it just, it that those indicators that you can chart for inflation expectations, they really haven't moved that much or confirmed a bottom. And so that's why we see silver is still underperforming. But the good thing, Corey, is at least SILJ is outperforming silver. So that's encouraging.
So does this all then just relate to a fear trade that is underway here, continuing to be underway for gold, but it's not quite filtering down into silver because, as you said, we're not seeing a ton of inflation or inflation expectations skyrocket?
Yeah, I mean, that's what's going on. I hate the term fear trade. I mean, I know that journalists put these things out, and I'm not putting you in that camp. But, you know, there's actually real reasons why these things go up or why they go sideways, why they don't go up. And silver is entirely about inflation expectations. When inflation expectations are rising and that will lead inflation, that's when we'll see silver outperform gold. But right now, I mean, fear as far as, you know, the economic, you know, Fed and, you know, economic recession or maybe a depression for a little while, you know, that's bullish for gold because the policy, when that happens, you get negative real rates, you get, you know, future or policy that's going to be inflationary in the future, helicopter money, government spending, et cetera, all that, that's bullish for gold and gold producers first and foremost. It's not bullish for silver. Now, when inflation expectations start to bottom out and rise and we get to that point where the market thinks that, okay, the economy is going to stabilize and maybe recover, but inflation is going to shoot up, that's when silver outperforms gold. So I guess, I mean, when the fear subsides and people start to worry about, or they start to think about, well, maybe the economy is going to bottom out, start to come back, that's when inflation expectations rise, and that's when silver will start to outperform gold.
All right, Jordan, we'll wrap it up there. Some interesting comments bouncing out exactly what is happening in the precious metals. A little bit of a pullback now in gold, but still the chart is strong, and gold has a lot of room to still move down and still be, I think, in a bull market, but right now, you know, a little bit of a pullback in the stocks pulling back as well. Silver, though, that man just continues to struggle. Jordan, thanks for your time today. I'll post a link below to your website so everyone can follow along with your daily comments. Thanks for your time today, Jordan.